I mentioned that today we have an interesting combination. It's First Friday, so we honor the Sacred Heart. It's also the feast of the dedication of a Marian church, so we honor Our Lady as well. There's a lesson in this, and in fact we'll have the same lesson tomorrow. Tomorrow's First Saturday, but it's the Feast of the Transfiguration. So on Saturdays we honor Our Lady. Transfiguration certainly honors Our Lord. We see them together. For Catholics, that's no problem to honor Jesus and Mary together. And you can see that for the liturgy, it's no problem. Jesus has no problem saying, "Behold your mother." And Mary has no problem saying, "Do whatever he tells you." So we see this today and tomorrow. Looking at today's readings, what came to my mind was a kind of standard technique in the world of science fiction, some other fantasy genres too. The technique goes like this. You take some non-human being or creature or spirit, and then you use the perspective of that non-human being to make observations of the human condition. You might think of, say, if you know the Star Trek series, you know, the Vulcans that have no emotions. So their evaluation of humans they're always observing the strange flow of the emotions. Or if you think of the work of C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters, it's the evaluation of the human condition through the eyes of a demon. Of course, spirits, angels and demons, they don't have this fluctuation of emotions. They're very steady, consistent. And the reason I bring this up is because what they always point out is the instability of the human creature. One day a man might be happy, the next day he's sad. One day he's just overjoyed, the next day he's devastated. And sometimes it's not even because of a significant change of circumstances. It's just that he feels got up on the right side of the bed or the wrong side of the bed. He's in a good mood, he's in a bad mood. So you give the man a bottle of beer and he's happy. You take away his bottle and he's unhappy. Is that defining the whole course of his life? No, but to that guy in that moment, there's this fluctuation. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because the scriptures, the Bible is full of this. There's all kinds of ups and downs, and the Word of God is very attuned to this part of what it means to be human. So it came to my mind reading today's first reading from the prophet Nahum. The first part of the reading is very positive. Now, given this is excerpts, this is not a straight reading from the prophet, but these excerpts start out with something very positive. Oh, celebrate your feasts. You'll never be invaded again. You can rejoice because the Lord is sustaining you. And then the second part of the reading, woe to the bloody city and all this business about chariots and horses overrunning the city and all the corpses being piled up and stumbling over endless piles of bodies. And I said, what in the world? It went from something very positive to something very negative. And only at the end of the reading do we realize, oh, he's not talking about us. He's talking about the evil city of Nineveh. Maybe this was highlighted by our funny experience with the microphone. When the lector was reading the positive part of the reading, we couldn't hear her. And then somehow, when she got to the negative part, it came out very loud on the PA system. I don't know what happened with the microphone. But as if to say, okay, you know, this is part of human experience. You get good news, you feel happy. You get bad news, you feel sad. And this is why the spiritual writers, in fact, the scriptures themselves say this, but spiritual writers make it clear, in times of prosperity, remember adversity. In times of adversity, remember prosperity. Don't let the experience of the moment make you forget the big picture. Today's gospel. Jesus speaks about the requirement on every disciple to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. It sounds very negative to us. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But it sounds bad to lose our life. So in the moment when we hear about the cross, we have an emotional down. But as soon as we hear about glory, well, then we're happy again. Tomorrow, Feast of the Transfiguration, very positive experience. Glorious, seeing Jesus in all his divine glory. Wow, what a high. And then when that vision disappears, go down the mountain and down again. Now, this is, I'm not saying this is good or bad. This is simply part of being human. And the scriptures do not say this is good or bad. This is simply part of being human. What's beautiful is God enters fully into this roller coaster of human experience. He takes it on. He joins us in it. So unlike those science fiction writers or fantasy writers who look at the human condition as if from outside and say, well, look at those strange creatures that are so unstable and so changeable and so easy to deceive. That's the science fiction approach. Well, if an evil alien comes along, all they have to do is wait for the human person to be tired or hungry, and he's easily overcome. So if he's strong in the morning, just wait a little while, he'll be weak in the evening. If he resists the lie or the temptation or whatever in the morning, well, just wait a little while, he'll be weakened in the afternoon or the evening. So unlike that approach of exploiting human weakness from outside, the Lord enters into the human experience and unites it with himself. So when Jesus tells his followers, when he tells us, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, he's not telling us to do something that he himself isn't also doing. Who's the one who carries the cross? Who's the one who denies himself? It's Jesus himself. He is the model of how to bring human nature in all its fluctuations into right order, into submission to the will of God. Jesus shows us how to do it. In fact, he does it for us and then makes it possible for us to unite ourselves fully with God, whether we're happy or sad. Now, when it comes to this idea of denying ourselves, it doesn't mean that we choose what is genuinely bad for ourselves. That's just how it appears. The self-denial that Jesus is talking about is the setting aside, first of all, of anything that interferes with our relationship with God, but also it is the making our priority the will of God, putting God at the center. Whenever God is at the center, we are not. That's what the denial is. Whenever God's will, we pray, God's will be done, we're saying, well, then my will will not be done. That's the self-denial. So it's not against us. It's actually putting us in right order before God. When we put ourselves first, when we make our will the dominant will, that's the disaster for us. That's the disorder that Jesus has come to save us from. So to deny ourselves is to put ourselves in second place, put God in first place. In fact, put God first place, put others in second place, put us in third place. That's right order. Taking up the cross, okay? Willingness to sacrifice. Willingness to sacrifice. We cannot love if we're not willing to sacrifice, because love is always other-centered. Love is always a choice of what is good for the other. And that's a sacrifice. That's the nature of sacrifice. So to take up our cross, which is such a horrible idea to our nature, so repulsive to us to think we have to suffer, it's not, and that's, again, that's the, in the fluctuation of emotions, we say, oh, crosses, how horrible. But back off a little bit and remember why Jesus tells us to take up our cross, so that we can love, so that we can fulfill our vocation to love. Then we realize, oh, well, that's not a bad thing at all. Follow him. So Jesus shows us the way. He makes it possible for us to live this way. He also makes it possible for us to recognize that gaining the whole world is of no value at all if we lose ourselves. This is what he says. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit himself? Human experience typically is, it would be great to gain the whole world. Wouldn't that make me happy? Wouldn't it make me happy if I won the lotto? Wouldn't it make me happy if I had, you know, 10 million pesos? Wouldn't it make me happy if, you know, I had everything that I want? That's the way it seems in the moment. People who experience that learn that, yes, they're happy when they win the lotto, but the next day, they're not, because that's the way it is. So nothing earthly is going to really give us lasting happiness, so there's no advantage in gaining the whole world if we lose our life, if we lose the gift that God gives us to make a gift. Remember that passage in Sunday's Gospel, the man who had a huge harvest and he built big barns and warehouses to store all his stuff. And he says, okay, now I can be happy. Now I can be happy, just like this. I gained the whole world. I've got it made. I can live happy forever, or, you know, the rest of my life, eat, drink, and be happy. And the Lord says, no, you fool. You fool. You're going to die tonight. What? Are you happy now? So this is it. This is a great instruction for us. Yes, we will have ups and downs. We do live in a roller coaster in ourselves and in the world. Good news, bad news. Nice weather, bad weather. Your favorite team wins, your favorite team loses. you're healthy, you're sick. Okay. But the will of God does not change. The way of love does not change. So in the midst of all of our experiences, we remember this is the way. Deny ourselves, meaning set ourselves aside and put God first. Take up our cross, meaning be willing to sacrifice so that we can love, and follow Jesus.